Okay, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's the 17th of May, a Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening, I think. And we're going to talk about the Jews. Actually, we're not going to talk about the Jews. We're going to talk about the Bible. We're going to talk about the Holy Scriptures. And we're going to talk about a very specific whole book about the Jews. There's a whole book in the Bible about the Jews. No, I'm not talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are about the sons of Israel, the sons of Abraham, the sons of Isaac. Not about the Jews. I'm talking about the book of Esther. The book of Esther is the book of the Jews. The book of Esther is the book about the Jews. It's the perfect God-inspired explanation of who the Jews are, what they're about, what they're doing, and what they're going to do. It's a how-to manual for the Jews. And it's a warning to the to all the people that are not Jews. The book of Esther is a how-to manual for the Jew. And the book of Esther is a warning to those of us that are not Jewish. Let me set the stage for you. At this point in time, because of the rebellion of these Jews against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because of the rebellion against Jesus Christ, they were scattered. They were forced out of the land that God gave to their ancestors. They had no right to stay there or be there. They turned their lives over to Satan, as not only as individuals but as a culture and as a cultural norm. They were driven out of the land of Canaan. And in this book, in the book of Esther, they're staying in the lands of the Medes and the Persians in across their empire. There's a Persian king named Ahasuerus, or Xerxes. He rules from India all the way to Africa. This is a multi-ethnic, multicultural empire. Extraordinarily rich, extraordinarily powerful. And the Jews took root in this empire, multi-ethnic, multi-racial empire. Mordecai is the Jew. Haman is the non-Jew. Haman becomes like the right hand of the king or the emperor, and he sees disloyalty amongst the Jews. He's like, oh my God, these people are dangerous. Esther is very explicit. Mordecai the Jew refused to obey the king's orders. He refused to obey the king's command. Utterly refused to honor the king's edict. Just on basic principles that you're not the boss of me. These people were not living in their own land. They'd gone to take advantage of whatever means they could over in this multicultural empire. Haman recognized that they're a threat. And he says, he goes to the king. He said, King, we gotta have a solution for these Jews. They're a real fat problem. There's a big fat problem. We need to get rid of them. King says, fine, get rid of them. Later on, we find out that, before this happens, Mordecai the Jew had already set the stage for himself. He had a gorgeous cousin. Absolutely gorgeous. Drop dead, probably the most beautiful woman in the whole empire, from India to Ethiopia. And he said, go into there and make yourself close to the king, close to the emperor. And so she did. You can go read it, Book of Esther. It's all online. And so she did. So her cousin pimped her out to somebody of a different race and religion. If you were a son of Israel, you never would have done that. You would have married within your own tribe, let alone your own nation, and you would have made sure the husband was going to be a servant of the Most High God, the servant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was of no concern to Mordecai the Jew. He wanted to get close to the power, and he pimped his cousin out to be close to the center of power. So Haman, looking out for the interests of the king and the empire, said, "We got to deal with these Jews." Mordecai goes to his gorgeous cousin who'd already wiled her ways into the bed of the king and become the queen. Mordecai says, hey, now's the time. Now, up to that time, Esther had completely 100% hidden her identity as a Jew. On purpose. would not tell anybody that she was a Jew. And so she went unnoticed to use her position of power and influence there. Now all of a sudden there's a threat. There's a threat to the Jews. And then, Esther comes out and she plays the victim. She plays the victim. Now, how many Jews are murdered in the book of Esther? Answer is zero. Absolutely not one single one. This was a hypothetical threat that never was carried out. Nothing ever happened. Not one Jew is murdered or touched or harmed in the entire book of Esther. But because of the hypothetical threat, hypothetically, something could happen. Hypothetically, Hitler could come back. Hypothetically, there could be another Holocaust. Hypothetically, there's Nazis running around. I'm a victim. I'm a victim. I'm Jewish. I'm a victim. I'm surrounded by anti-Semites and Hitlers and Nazis. So Haman is executed. The government passes a law that the Jews can kill whoever they want to kill. And they go out and they slaughter 75,000 people who'd never laid a hand on them by the mere threat as perceived by the Jews potentially something happening to them. Yet nothing does in the book of Esther. They go out and they murder 75,000 under the edict of the government that they had suborned, subverted, compromised, controlled. Mordecai the Jew becomes number two in the entire empire. And there's a Jew that's a queen. And they murder by the tens of thousands their enemies just because of a perceived potential threat. Jews are so happy about it. And the other peoples that aren't Jews are so terrified about it. Many, many peoples converted and said, well, we want to be Jews too because we're terrified of the Jews. So they became Jews. Don't ever believe this idea that they don't convert people. That's not true. That's false in the Bible. Even Jesus Christ says, hey, you go around land and sea to make one convert and you make them twice the sons of hell that you already are. That's what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said they were converting people and they made them twice the sons they already were. Book of Esther says many people converted to become Jews because they were terrified of them. The dread of them was on everybody. Said, well, if we can't beat them, join them. Judeo-Christian. So the Jews are so happy with their success, they institute a new national identity, a new national festival called Purim. In Purim, they celebrate the murder of their enemies. It's probably the most popular Jewish holiday to this day. It has nothing to do with the law or the prophets or Moses. It has nothing to do with the festivals and the Holy Scriptures. Nothing whatsoever. There's no prayers to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the book of Esther. There's not one reference to God in the book of Esther. These are a godless, rootless people whose own race and group is their own God, their own religion. Their perfect breeding ground, the perfect grounds for them to gain control is an ethnically diverse, culturally diverse hodgepodge of peoples where they can get close to the realm of power, claim victimhood, and utterly destroy their enemies. Why do you think white supremacy is the greatest threat in America today? You think that was just by chance? Who do you think came up with that idea other than the Attorney General who's Jewish, Mayorkas who's Jewish? Yet this isn't by chance. This is the book of Esther is a playbook for the Jews. The book of Esther is a how-to manual for the Jews. And it's a warning to the Gentiles. It's a warning to the white race. It's a warning to the Christian church. It's a warning to Europeans. Church has got it all backwards. They're siding with the Jews. They're siding with the Antichrist Jews. The Jews in the book of Esther are utterly antichrist. They have no respect for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have no respect for the law, no respect for the prophets, no respect for Moses, not one reference to him, not one prayer to God Almighty. Willing to pimp out each other for strategic advantage, gets close to the center of power, claims victimhood, and turns around and starts murdering other people. Don't say you weren't warned. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com.